All right. So today, we're diving into the second of a three-part series on something that's, I think, pretty revolutionary in defense infrastructure procurement. The Defense Infrastructure Panel, Major Contractors, or DIPMC as it's called. This panel isn't just a list of contractors, right? It's almost like a turbocharged engine for how defense handles these huge projects. Honestly, the way it streamlines things, it's brilliant.
Absolutely, Darian. The purpose here is all about efficiency. The DIPMC takes the typical defense procurement process and integrates it into a panel system where pre-approved contractors can bid on projects without having to repeatedly prove their qualifications. It's a framework designed for agility, particularly for managing Australia's growing defense requirements.
Right. Yeah, and I love that it's both like, it simplifies things but also keeps the bar high. I mean, getting on the panel is no cakewalk. From what I understand, you've got to show you're qualified up to your eyeballs just to make the list, huh?
Exactly. Membership is exclusive to contractors who meet stringent standards, including holding the appropriate licenses for state jurisdictions. Defence only invites those on the panel to bid, so the first step, placement on the panel, is critical. But remember, just being on it doesn't guarantee work. Take the optional expression of interest, or EOI, as an example.
The EOI thing, yeah. I read that it's kind of like a heads up, like a, hey, we've got this project, who's interested? But also sort of sorting the serious bidders from the, you know, not serious ones.
Exactly. The EOI acts as Defence's preliminary market-sounding tool, allowing them to gauge contractor capacity and interest for a specific project. But contractors should treat this very seriously. Non-responses can indicate disinterest, which might affect future invitations. It's not technically a guarantee of work, but your response or lack of it definitely influences perceptions.
Yeah. So, kind of a don't miss the boat situation. What's next? Oh, the confidentiality agreement, right? That little step before they let you even sniff the tender docs?
That's correct. The Disclaimer and Confidentiality Agreement, or DCA, is another binding step. Without signing this, panelists can't access the Request for Tender, or RFT. It ensures confidentiality around project details and sets some legal groundwork, like disclaimers, that limit defence's liability. It's worth noting that the DCA is standard across the board for panel projects, which does help speed things along.
Standard, yeah, but still critical. Quick question, and I think this is super important. The Request for Tender documents themselves, they look totally different from the usual defence templates, don't they?
They do. The panel-specific RFT templates are tailored exclusively for DIPMC members. They simplify the process by eliminating repetitive compliance sections that were already covered during panel appointment. The only part carried over from standard defence contracts is Part 4, which covers the legal conditions of contract. Everything else, from tender instructions to response schedules, is unique to the panel framework.
So they've stripped it down? That's got to save a ton of time for contractors. But just a guess, you can't, like, coast through these, can you?
Not at all. Despite their streamlined nature, contractors must rigorously address each tender's technical and pricing requirements and the evaluation criteria outlined. Each delivery model, whether it's construct only, D, or something else, has unique specifications in these documents, which means contractors need to review them thoroughly to avoid costly oversights.
Yeah, makes sense. After all, like you said, getting on the panel isn't enough. You've got to win every project on your own merit. So, Jessica, after all the hurdles to just get on the DIPMC, tendering sounds like the next big challenge. What exactly does it take to stand out and actually win one of these projects?
Exactly, Darian. Even as a panelist, the evaluation process is intense. Defence applies the same probity and fairness principles as they would in open tenders. Value for money remains a top priority, and there's no leniency just because you're already on the panel. Your bids have to stand out on technical merits, pricing, and how well you address the stated requirements.
Right, like no cutting corners here. And I saw something interesting. This Government Procurement Act, the GPJR thing, doesn't apply to DIPMC tenders. What's up with that?
Good catch. Yes, the Government Procurement Judicial Review Act doesn't cover DIPMC tenders. This means you can't challenge tender decisions under that law. It streamlines things, but it also places greater importance on getting everything right during the initial panel establishment phase. Defence has internal complaint pathways, but once decisions are made, they're generally final.
Ah, no pressure there. So, alongside the tender itself, I'm guessing contractors have some ongoing homework as well?
Absolutely. Panel membership comes with strict compliance requirements. Contractors must maintain their state building licenses, security clearances, and workplace accreditations throughout. Any major changes, like restructuring or lapses in compliance, have to be reported. And these aren't one-time checks. Defence monitors this continuously.
So they're keeping you honest, yeah? You can't just, like, coast once you're in. But Jess, let's talk about answering EOIs. Because this sounds like make or break stuff. What happens if you just ignore one?
Ignoring an expression of interest or EOI could be detrimental. Defence uses EOIs to gauge your interest and capacity for specific projects. If you don't respond, even to decline, it might signal disinterest or lack of readiness. While EOIs aren't guarantees of work, they're a critical part of staying visible and competitive within the panel system.
So let me get this straight. You don't just respond for the sake of it, you're showing Defence you're serious and ready to play ball, yeah?
Exactly. It's about keeping yourself on Defence's radar. And it's worth noting that EOIs can provide early insights into upcoming projects, which helps in preparing your bid strategy.
Got it. Punchy responses, good relationships, it all matters. Now let's move this along. Once you're through the tender hoops and win a project, how does the contract work? Actually, wait. You know, Jess, we were just talking about contracts, and it's making me think, when it comes to these delivery models under DIPMC, they're not exactly one size fits all, right? Defence tailors these choices based on what the project needs most, yeah?
Exactly. The flexibility is intentional. Defence has five distinct models: construct only, design construct, document construct, early contractor involvement, and managing contractor. Each comes with its own risk allocation and responsibilities, so contractors have to adapt based on what Defence needs for a given project.
Okay, let's break this down, starting with the simplest. Construct only, right?
Correct. Construct only is straightforward. Defence provides the complete design, and the contractor's job is purely to build it. Design risk remains with Defence, so it minimises the contractor's exposure to issues like design flaws. That said, contractors still need to ensure constructability and deliver within budget and schedule.
Sure, I get that, but doesn't sound too flexible. What about design construct?
Design construct, or D, shifts more responsibility to the contractor. Here, Defence supplies a performance brief or maybe a partial design, and the contractor finalises the design and builds it. There's more opportunity for innovation, but the contractor also takes on significant design risk.
So wait, if there's a design issue, like missed specs or whatever, it's on the contractor?
Exactly. It's why contractors need strong design teams or consultants. The integration between design and construction can be efficient, but it demands robust management to prevent scope creep or costly redesigns.
Got it. Efficiency, but risky. That third one, document construct, like a mashup of construct only and D, yeah?
That's right. Defence starts the design, taking it to around 30 to 50% completion, and then hands it to the contractor to finish and construct. The initial design direction is set, but the contractor completes it and delivers the project. It's middle ground flexibility, but with design completion risk still on the contractor.
And if their initial design's dodgy?
If there are flaws, it's up to the contractor to manage them, possibly through contract mechanisms for variations or clarifications. Clear communication with Defence and the original designers is critical here.
All right, let's talk early contractor involvement. That one sounds, well, kind of collaborative.
It is. ECI brings contractors in during the planning or early design stages. Phase one is a consultancy-style contract where the contractor helps refine the design, cost, and program. Defence can then choose to either negotiate directly for construction, phase two, or go back to tender. It's especially useful for complex or high-risk projects.
Oh, wow. So contractors have a shot to sort of prove themselves early.
Exactly. Contractors can showcase expertise and problem solving in phase one, possibly securing phase two construction without a rebid. But there's always an inherent risk, spending time and resources in phase one without a firm guarantee of moving to phase two.
It's a gamble, but if you're good, you'll shine. Now, managing contractor, sounds like you're wearing every hat possible.
Pretty much. The contractor acts as both a project manager and constructor, coordinating design, permits, trades, everything. Instead of a fixed lump sum price, the contractor is reimbursed for costs plus a fee. Risk here is more about performance and process, while defence retains financial risk.
Sounds ideal for complex projects though, right? Like when you've got to stay flexible.
Exactly. It's perfect for evolving scopes or challenging environments, but contractors need strong governance and open book cost transparency, not to mention excellent subcontractor management.
All right, so all these models, they're not just a menu. You've got to be ready to adapt, no matter what defence chooses. So, Jessica, we've talked about all these delivery models and how contractors need to adapt to defence's needs. But tell me this. How do they stay ahead in such a dynamic environment? These projects aren't exactly slowing down, right?
Exactly. Staying informed is a huge part of success, Darian. The defence estate landscape evolves rapidly, and contractors need to be on top of updates and industry trends. That's where resources like the DCNet Defence Estate newsletter come into play. It's packed with the latest insights, updates, and tips about defence infrastructure projects.
Ah, that's gold. Like a shortcut to staying in the loop without having to dig through a million channels, yeah?
Absolutely. And it's not just about staying in the loop. It also helps build stronger bid strategies. Knowing exactly where defence priorities are heading or what delivery models are being preferred can give contractors a competitive edge.
Love that. And Jess, if I may, if you're serious about growing in this space, wouldn't you say collaboration is just as important as reading up?
Absolutely. Networking and building relationships are key. Start conversations, share capabilities, and when appropriate, collaborate with other panelists or consultants. DECnet provides opportunities to connect with the major panel players and build those vital partnerships.
Okay, so to recap, subscribe to the newsletter, connect with panelists, and I guess take stock of your own processes. Anything else to toss in there?
Well, taking courses or staying sharp on DEPMC processes doesn't hurt either. Staying proactive, whether it's through training or constant self-assessments, ensures you're always ready when opportunities arise.
I like that. It's not just playing to win, it's staying ready so you don't lose. Jess, any final thoughts before we sign off?
Just this. DEPMC is an exciting system, but it's not a free pass. It's a steady mix of diligence, competition, and collaboration. For contractors who understand it and work strategically, it's a massive opportunity.
Couldn't have put that better myself. All right, listeners, that's all we've got for today. Make sure you tap into those resources. Subscribe to DECnet, start those conversations, and hey, share this podcast with anyone who could use the insight. Jess, as always, awesome chatting.
Likewise, Darian, and to everyone tuning in, best of luck with your defence projects. Stay sharp and stay informed.
Cheers, everyone. Until next time.